Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is out there for everyone. I'm Corey Lowe. I'm from Chicago. Let's begin. On August 31st, I interviewed two men, a David Wenzel and a David Vando. They have a project out, a movie out actually, based on Shakespeare's play Hamlet. And they reached out to me because they wanted to share their journey. And we had a really good conversation. We talked about a lot of things. And I'm going to play that for you guys today. And I'm going to play the second part for you in a later episode. And they just had a really, they had a really good message. And we're talking about a project that took 20 years to make. And so there's a lot of perseverance, diligence, and it was a really good conversation. I want to share that with you all today. These two men, they have been in, for the record, they have been in acting, indie films, production, plays for a very long time. So they have a lot of experience and knowledge in the field, and they share a Christian faith. So let's begin. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is out there for everyone. I'm Corey Lowe. I'm from Chicago. Let's begin. Welcome to the Guard Your Heart podcast. Today, it is my pleasure to talk to two gentlemen who have a project that has been 20 years in the making. For those of you who don't know, I'm only 30 years old, so they spent most of my life working together to bring this piece of theirs, this artistic piece, to film. I have with me David Wenzel and David Vando. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how are you? Glad to be here.
Good. I'm glad you guys have me on here. Fun fact, this is actually my first interview for the Guard Your Heart podcast. So these two established gentlemen are really blessing me with their presence right now. And I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Our honor.
It is our honor.
Yes, the tale of two Davids. They have a film out called Hamlet and Horatio. It focuses on the spiritual aspects of the play, of the Shakespearean play Hamlet. David Wenzel, this has been something I wanted for a long time. Can you just go ahead and give us a little bit of details about the film to start?
I'm gonna do the first little part of it, and then I'm gonna turn it over to David, because there's like this whole synergy that kind of happened in the initial genesis of the film. Mm-hmm. It started with me actually acting on stage. We're coming up on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So I had my first Hamlet production in 2020 at this company called the Waterloo Bridge Theater, which was a theater in Midtown that was very depicted on Shakespeare work. And I was cast actually as Laertes. And the Laertes went on to go book a movie. And they said, you're going to have to step up and play Hamlet. So I literally had like 10 days to learn that text and go and play that. In the interim of that experience is when I reached out to David Vando and said, I'd like to do this again to give it the proper diligence that it deserves. And then it started to manifest into something else. And from that point, I'll let David take over because he can fill in the gaps, so to speak.
Okay.
Well, there were a string of performances that he did multiple times. And with each one, we tried to expand the text, the meaning of the text, and hone it down from the play's length, which is about 3.5 to 4 hours playing time on stage, if it's uncut. And we decided we wanted to emphasize the spiritual level of this script. All of Shakespeare's plays work on multiple levels, historical level, psychological level, a sexual level, multiple levels, political levels. But ultimately, it's a spiritual level that is behind the essence of the meaning of the play. And Shakespeare was one of the most moral playwrights of all times.
Yes, he was.
Very religious man. And his plays all have very strong Christian values at their core. Most of them are parables of good and evil. And in Hamlet, the most important theme is love. But how love elevates our spirits and enables us to overcome our fear of death. So it's how love.
Wow, okay.
And that's what the play and our screenplay emphasizes this. Because we begin at the end of the play. We begin with Hamlet's death. And he begs Horatio, his alter ego, his conscience, to tell my story, tell the world of what my death, what brought about my death, and how I fought to purify the world of evil
right
around me.
Right.
And he dies in Horatio's arms. Mm-hmm. And Horatio promises to tell his story.
Right.
That's really incredible. Now, and I'll ask this as an open question. Everything that you just explained to me, I'm one person, so I'm not a part of the acting, I'm not a part of production, the writing team, things like that. How hard was it, or was it difficult to portray that message to everybody involved? Because the actors have to go out and act what you're saying, and you have to have the right score to have the nice good background for it and the right music for it. So was that like a big issue to really get that across to everyone else?
Well,
go ahead, David. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let me just start, David.
Please do.
We were blessed with an incredible actors and creative artists who fell in love with this piece.
Right.
And intuitively knew what it was about.
Right.
The composer, because of the pandemic, we never met till this day, face to face.
Right.
But we talked together and we Skyped and we texted and back and forth and back and forth. And he's a very spiritual person. I knew that he'd be right for it. And he was. The film has a haunting, musical, spiritual quality to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm using the fact of the composer, how everybody else sort of fit it in their way. And three of the main actors,
right,
the Horatio, the Hamlet, and Ophelia, are all former students of mine at the New York Film Academy, where I taught them Shakespeare.
Wow, okay.
So yeah. This is a Hamlet, not of a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, or in the case currently of Ian McKellar playing Hamlet at age 82 or something like that. No, it's youthful. It's youthful because Hamlet's supposed to be a student at the university. And so all our actors are age appropriate.
Yes.
So David, you can add to how
else. Well, I mean, for me, the hardest part was, I had to surrender. I had to surrender Hamlet over to a younger kid in my eyes that having played it so much, I had the latitude to really exercise it out and put in like all the idiosyncrasies and the things that, I was able to do with a tenure of time. Although he worked with David, he never had the experience of the immediate feedback from the audience. So like, one particular performance I had, there was a kid, I would break the fourth wall and I saw this kid who was so enthralled in it. So I decided to take him down. I walked off the stage and I literally walked him on the stage. That was the first time doing To Be or Not To Be use, even though he didn't do the dialogue, it was mm-hmm. kind of the genesis of yes. hearing his feedback back. Now, I would end up meeting that kid 10 years later because his father said that he was heavily influenced by that performance. And he ended up going to conservatory and becoming an actor. He's in LA right now, actually doing a TV series. So, but for me, the hardest part was surrendering that over to Andrew. And I had to let him find his way like I had found my way. And David was there to guide him because he needed that, because he never got to have like a working template or model like I did. I got to perform this live on stage. I know when the audience was with me, I knew when they were not. You know, we were had a highly experimental thing. So with David working with this kid, Andrew, and I say he's a kid because like he's just a brand new father right now, incredibly talented, but he's still under 25. He's a baby to me. You know, he's not a child. The one thing that I did see in him that David brought out was he's a very, very Christian based young actor. And he is a very emotional actor, and he knows how to wear his heart on his sleeve. You know, the Brits would say that we as American actors work too internally. Right. And I would say as an American actor, maybe they work a little too externally. I think David was able to bring in a combination with the adaptation of the script and fuse both those sides into Andrew, which gave a well-rounded, much more mature performance than any normal 21 or 22 year old kid can do. Hamlet has a lot of complexities to it. Some say he's a depressive. Some say he doesn't make decisions. No, there's so many certain elements. And I think, you know, some actors can play one side really well. Like Zeffirelli saw Mel Gibson play Hamlet and Lethal Weapon, he thought he had that crazy element. When you want to jump, you want to jump? Let's right. jump. You know, and he right. saw something in that little thing. But Hamlet is much more than that. And David, you know, focused on that life or death thing, and it usurps everything. And we both feel personally, another hiccup in it was we were ready to go. We were just waiting for our director to get ready. I think, you know, between David Vando and myself, he was making us like, you know, with his scheduling and stuff. And apropos, you know, he's a full-time teacher and a director, but that was, I think, the hardest part was just getting him scheduled. Once we got him scheduled, all these pieces, the work that David and I had done, it was really just like a layup. I was like, you know, we just gave you the basketball and we picked you up. And all you have to do is drop the ball in. That's all you have to do is just drop it in, you know?
Right.
And that's I would say was the only real hiccups, aside from the stuff that comes up every day with a low budget film. You know, that's a whole documentary in itself right there, to be honest with
right.
you.
Right. Okay. So for those who wouldn't happen to know the story of Hamlet, this is just a rough overview of it. Hamlet's father, King Hamlet, is killed by his brother, Claudius. Claudius marries Hamlet's mother. Hamlet the father appears to Horatio and a few guards as a ghost, and then eventually to Hamlet, telling Hamlet that he was killed by his uncle, and Hamlet plots revenge. Is that correct?
Yeah, you hit a lot of the elements on it. Absolutely. Right.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I do want to give props to the actor, Andrew, his last name.
Yeah,
was...
Burdett.
He played a really good Hamlet, because when I watched him, I thought that guy is a psychopath. And I know that Hamlet was only faking to be crazy, but he played it very well. I was very convinced that something was off with that guy. The acting, I really appreciated. You could really see the commitment that the actors had to their roles. This is the larger.
That's really wonderful too. That's, you know, just what you did and how you just did that analytical approach was exactly what we wanted to have people be affected by that. And you don't have to even understand the story of Shakespeare to watch this adaptation. You will understand it and get it. That you just gave us the highest compliment we can possibly have. And I thank you, Corey, for watching it, because we've had some interviews where they have watched the trailer, but they haven't really watched the film. So as we're explaining it, it's kind of, you know, it's like, guys, you should watch the movie. Go watch it, you know?
Right. You got to get the whole experience if you're going to do something like this. You know, this is the, folks, this is the Guard Your Heart podcast, and the film Hamlet Horatio, it really shows the strength of two men who are friends looking out for one another. And David Vandel, if you could just talk about really Horatio's perspective and just his love for Hamlet and why he is just so bent on trying to protect him and be almost father figure like to him in a few ways.
There are a number of ways to explain this relationship. The composer said to me, Horatio is Hamlet's conscience. And I said, that's a very good concept. And that worked for him. For me, because Shakespeare is very symbolic, very symbolic. Most people don't delve into the symbolism of his work. But in essence, Hamlet and Horatio are two different aspects of the same soul.
Okay.
They are really that close to one another, reading each other's minds and thoughts. And this is what makes this so unique. Shakespeare does this sort of thing in many of his other plays. In King Lear, his youngest daughter Cordelia, and the Fool are really all aspects of one entity.
Right.
One is the body, the thing. The Fool is the conscience. And Ophelia Cordelia is the soul. You have body, soul, and conscience symbolized in this relationship. And that's what I had in mind for these two characters, what I wanted to get across to the audience. Now, most people just enjoy it on a naturalistic level. But for those who are really attuned to this sort of storytelling, they see beyond that.
Right.
They see beyond that. And it ultimately ends, as you know, with Horatio in that light, that mystical light from up above, and he knows it's Hamlet. He knows it's Hamlet looking down on him.
Yeah, and I really like that we see everything through Horatio's eyes, and he's like the audience for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, Corey, that's exactly right too. Well, I think, you know, you've got some, you could be a film critic in your next calling for sure, man. We certainly could use another good review.
I'm just a guy who watches movies. What can I say?
Yeah, but you know what though? Those are the best, right? A lot of the critics are educated in their way of thinking. We've had some people that, you know, just didn't like, how dare us take the liberty to do something different and new. But as David Vandel and myself knows, if Shakespeare was here, it's exactly the kind of thing that he would be doing, because that's what he did in his day. He was a revolutionary. He was, you know, and that's the freedom of art. And that's the beautiful thing about, you know, freedom of speech, so to speak. You have that right to, you know, say you don't like it. And someone else has the right to say they do. I mean, I think what we found with the pandemic and finished principal photography, and then we had to move everything for post-production, all, like David said, we didn't meet anybody. Our color correctionist, we were sending files over and all over the place just to get the film done, which is absolutely crazy. And then I remember we were getting through one phase, and that's when the whole, like, the Black Lives Matter movement and all that, that stuff coming out and the shootings and all this. And we were like, you know, this is a film that should reflect that none of that matters when we leave this earth, right? There is a higher place. You know it as a Christian. And there's accountability for that. You know, it's embarrassing that in this country, we can't, if you're on one side, you're on the other, there's no, nobody will talk in between, right?
Right.
It used to be years ago, you could go to the bar and say, you know, you might be a Republican, you might be a Democrat, you might disagree, but you're going to have a beer and agree to disagree and move on. Now it's just, it's so vast and it's so depressing because there'll never be any growth if that's the way it is. And the relationship between Hamlet and Horatio, that love is kind of like, you know, if we can get the world to do that, just do that, you know, or at least consider that, we might have some growth. You know?
Okay, guys, that was part one. Part two will air on the next episode. Like I said, it was a really good conversation, and I'll continue to play more for the next part. So I just want to thank you all for listening. Please like, share, subscribe, support. And as always, let's end in prayer. Father God, just ask for your mercy, Lord God, and that you continually bless my listeners, Father. I just pray, Lord God, that they got something positive out of this conversation today, that they would understand more and more, just be even reminded and encouraged in the value of hard work and the value of having connections and the value of having the right attachments in their lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for listening.